Scripture that we're going to look at this morning comes from Psalm 91, verses 14 through 16. So let's turn there, please. Psalm 91, verses 14, 15, and 16. Since tomorrow is the new year, I think it's appropriate to have some thoughts about the new year. A new year's resolution is something that goes in one year and out the next. Some resolutions: I resolve to work with neglected children, my own. I will read the manual just as soon as I find it. You know, why look at the manual? You know, why do they have manuals? I mean, we can put things together without the manual. Amen? Now, here are some New Year's resolutions that you can actually keep, but please don't. Read less. Stop exercising. It's a waste of time. Procrastinate more. I will no longer waste my time reliving the past. Instead, I will spend it worrying about the future. Now, let me say, we really don't need, and I mean this, we really don't need to worry about the future. We really don't need to worry about 2018 when our security is in the Lord. What about the verse that we're memorizing this month? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That, my friend, is security. Now, let me say this. If your security isn't in the Lord, you better worry. You better worry. Because this life is filled with dangers, toils, and snares. And it's just a matter of time before you are snared. And so it behooves us to make sure that God is our security, that the Lord is the one in whom we trust. He cares for us. The world doesn't care for you. Politicians don't care for you. They just want your vote. But God, through His Son, cares for you. And we see this divine care so beautifully described in Psalm 91. In verse 1, we see the place of God's care. In verse 2, we see the praise for God's care. In verses 3 through 13, we see the provisions of God's care. And then in verses 14 through 16, we see the promise or the promises from the God who does care. Now, there are two speakers in this psalm. First, we see the psalmist addressing his readers in verses 1 through 13. But then the Lord himself speaks in verses 14 through 16. So the psalmist in verses 1 through 13, and then the Lord God is actually speaking to us in verses 14, 15, and 16. And he does so not to the trusting soul, but of the trusting soul. Which really is important, because when you and I lovingly and graciously describe a third party, in other words, we're talking about someone else, and we do so with love and appreciation for that someone else, that speaks volumes of the one we're talking about. You know, when you talk about someone who's not in your presence in a very positive and uplifting way, that tells a lot about that person you're talking about. Too often when we talk about others, it's what? It's criticizing, it's being negative, it's being just downright mean. But when we talk about someone who's not present with us in a loving way, that says much about that person, and especially does that say much about that person when it's God lauding that individual. And that's what he's doing in verses 14, 15, and 16. Two points we see under the promise or promises from the God who cares. And they are, point number one, what God will do. What God will do. And then why God will do it. Point number one is what God will do. And the question is, what will God do? Well, according to verses 14 through 16, God promises to do seven things. Seven things. And the first thing he will do is deliver. God promises in verse 14, I deliver him. Verse 15, I will deliver him. And let me just say, when it's God who's doing the delivering, you are delivered. I mean, he gets the job done. And so you want to make sure you're on the receiving end of God's deliverance. You are going to go through many situations this year, this coming year, in which you need deliverance. And if you want deliverance, it's God who is the deliverer. And of course, this deliverance, specifically speaking, is from sin, from danger, from temptation. We can add from any and every evil. And I declare, what a promise. And notice it's not the angels of God, but the God of the angels who is the believer's deliverer. Again, he says in verse 14, I deliver him. In verse 15, I will deliver him. That's pretty assured, amen? It's not, well, I hope I can get there in time. Or maybe that, just maybe I can get you across the finish line. I can rescue you. No, he says, I deliver you. I will deliver you. Now, isn't life a constant need for deliverance? It seems, at least for me, I'm always needing God's help. I'm always needing his help for victory. For I'm always battling the world, the flesh, and the devil. I'm always, my whole day is battling the evil that's around me, the evil that's present within me. I'm constantly in need of deliverance. Thankfully, there's 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation make what? A way of escape. That's our deliverance, that way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. And so how reassuring when we do cry out to God, he is there to deliver because he is, as the psalmist tells us, he is our refuge, he is our fortress, he is our almighty. That is deliverance. I love the confirmation of verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome or the deadly pestilence. Verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And so what will God do? He will deliver. He promises to deliver. In 2018, God is our deliverer. And when God is your deliverer, no one can keep that deliverance from taking place. Now, the second thing God will do is seen in verse 14 as well. He promises, I will set him on high. And the idea here is protection. God promises to protect, and this safety is above all danger and fear.
it is called a high tower, which is above all danger and fear. Psalm 144:2 speaks of God being our goodness, our fortress, our high tower, in whom we can trust. Psalm 18:10 calls the name of the Lord a strong tower. A high tower, a strong tower. Let me say this protection is not only from bodily harm, but from those who would attack us psychologically or emotionally. Let me put it this way, those who would seek to attack our reputation. You know, people like to talk about other people, amen? I mean, it really, I don't know, our flesh is of such a nature that it really enjoys talking about people. And oftentimes, it's not flattering. And oftentimes, maybe you or me is on the negative side of that conversation. Let me just say this. Let God take care of your reputation. And we'll see what we need to do to make sure God does. But let me just put it this way. You let God take care of your standing. And too often we want to fight back. Too often we want to get even. We hear what someone has said. Oh, okay. And what is our response? Well, this is what I think of that person. You know, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Amen? For a while there, it seemed like Andrew had a burr or two under his saddle. And I said, well, Andrew, you're criticizing the people in the same way, or the people that you are saying are critical, you are being critical yourself. Okay. Amen? And so we let God take care of our standing before men. For again, he sets us on high. He grants us true honor. And so God promises deliverance. God promises protection. In 2018, God is our protector. Which brings us to God's third promise, and that's answered prayer, which we see in verse 15, where God says, I will answer him. I will answer him, which tells us God's ears are open to the saints' cry. He has time to take calls made to the throne of grace where we are never put on hold. I needed to call Delta Airlines this past week. Guess what? They said I was, you know, you can stay on the line or you can leave your number and they will call you back. And we promise you will get called back. Well, 2 hours later, I was called back. Amen? They actually kept their word. But when we call on God, we get through immediately. And we're actually talking to God. We're not talking to a machine. Don't you love when you can actually talk to a real person? And sometimes you think, well, is this a real person I'm talking to? You know, it's like, is this a computer voice or is this a real person? God is real. And where we can find grace, God's grace, his grace that is so necessary in those many times of need. And in fact, God is so eager to answer that Isaiah 65:24 tells us, before we call, God will answer. And while we are yet speaking, he will hear. And I say, that's amazing. That's an answering service. In 2018, God will answer our prayers. I don't know. I mean, I know I say it a lot. I don't know about you, but I think I do know about you. You need God to be able to answer your prayers. I mean, life is tough. You don't want to go through 2018 without a God you know will answer your prayers when you come to his throne of grace. Well, continuing, the fourth thing God promises to do is be present. In verse 15, God promises, I will be with him in trouble. Which tells us God will hold our head and our heart when we are fainting. Do you ever feel like I'm just ready to give up? You know, it's just life is just more than I can take. Life can be trouble. Sooner or later, it's trouble. Which tells us, however, when we are passing through the waters, God says, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou passest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy salvation. Isaiah 41:10, God further promises, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I think of the words of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Ladies and gentlemen, always, always remember, God is near his children in sympathy and power and help and in love. I love what one author has written, whenever trouble comes, God is already there. In 2018, we can count on God's presence, which is a very present help in time of need. Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. What else does God promise? Well, number five, he promises honor. And this goes along with really what he said earlier when he talks about setting us on high. I will honor him, verse 15, which tells us God's deliverance leaves us not worse off or about the same, but elevated, honored, blessed. Spurgeon states God first gives conquering grace and then he rewards us for it. 2018, God will take care again of our reputation. He is the one who honors us. Which brings us to the sixth of God's seven promises, which is a full life. Verse 16, with long life, God says, will I satisfy him? Not just, and we find here not just quantity living, but quality living. You know, it's one thing to say, well, I've lived 80, 70, 80, 90 years. Well, what kind of life did you live? I mean, God is saying here, I'm going to give you 70, 80, 90, whatever it might be, full and productive and profitable and fulfilled years. The man described in this psalm lives. He doesn't simply exist. And he lives out his life in the fullest measure all his days. In other words, as Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 2, he has length of days. Long life and peace shall they add to thee, which means in his life he does the will of God. He is faithful to the end. He runs with patience. He runs with endurance. He redeems the time. He lays up treasure in heaven. And so when his soul is about to be translated to heaven, there is a sense of completion. There is a sense of satisfaction. There's a sense of relief, not regret, not disappointment, but joy. For he knows he has fought the good fight. He has finished the course. He has kept the faith. He finishes well. I look at so many lives and they start out well, but they don't finish well. I think of friends of mine who have been in the ministry, but maybe are no longer in the ministry. They haven't finished well. And let me just say, one bad move, bad decision, can keep you from finishing well. But when we finish well, there is laid up for us a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give us in that day. Which further means, ours is an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Which further means, it's a crown of glory, it's an eternal weight of glory, it's a well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let me add, I believe this long day, long life also includes the immortal joys of heaven. I don't think everyone that's in heaven is going to enjoy heaven the same way, to the same degree. I think those who have been faithful will enjoy heaven a lot more than those who have just been saved so as by fire. Let me encourage you to do right now. Do right now. And then the last divine promise found here is salvation. Verse 16, I will show him my salvation. Presently, the Christian sees through a glass darkly. We don't see everything clearly. We don't understand everything that's going on around us. Maybe we don't even understand what's happening within us. But one day soon, we will see God's face, and then life's mysteries will be made plain. Everything will be known and understood. Why? I had a mother that was struck down with a brain tumor and left paralyzed for the last 16 years of her life. And you can fill in the blank yourself. But then everything will be known and understood. One author writes, God will be revealed in his love and in his glory, and we shall know all things even as we are known. We will see a full picture of God's salvation. But for now, to see the salvation of God is to see beyond today and to know that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. That completed salvation. And then we will see the big picture through God's eyes. But even now, what God does reveal to us is part and parcel of this salvation that's given to us by his grace through his Son, the Lord Jesus, who paid the penalty for our sin, who will die the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, who has given us eternal life through his Son, the Lord Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life. I say, what a salvation. and all that God's salvation does, even now for the believer, is so all comprehensive. In fact, if you want to really know what God is saying here, he has, through these previous six promises, he has described salvation. He has described what we have when he saves us. For he really is a generous, giving God, for he does deliver, he does protect, he does answer prayer, he is present. He's not a God that you have to wonder, where are you, God? He honors, he provides a full life, he provides a full life in the granting of his salvation to the one who does the following three things. Which brings us now to point number two, why God will do it. Why God will do what we have just seen in verses 14 through 16. Because, as verse 14 tells us, he, the Christian, has set his love upon me. Loving God is the first requirement of God's comprehensive blessings, his promises. If we want to enjoy God's full salvation, we got to love the one who gives us this salvation. It's really that simple. We have to love the Lord. We have to love the author, the finisher of our salvation. And this love is a deep longing for God, a clinging to God, a crying out for the living God, a yearning for God. The love God shows to us, we reciprocate, we return. Let me just say this, if you don't want to come to church, and church is something you want to avoid like the plague, you don't love God. Loving God will want you to be where God is. Amen. And this is where he promises, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. I worry about people that church is just something they kind of... I don't know if I can come today. I'll tell you, if you're looking for an excuse to stay away from church, Satan will give you one. But I tell you, I love coming to God's house. You say, well, you're the one that gets to stand up there and talk, scream at us. I hope I don't scream at you. I'd come anyway. Which further tells us the lesson here is the return of the soul to God involves affections as well as convictions. It involves not those who only run to Jesus when they are in trouble, but who take up residence, and we're talking about this, in the house of God's fellowship. Can I say it this way? When you love God, you don't love him just when you need him. You want to be with him all the time. I'll tell you, I love my wife. I don't love her just when I feel like I need her. I enjoy her. I enjoy her presence. I say this, and I know it might disappoint some of you, but I'd rather be with her than you. I know it's hard, but... Now, I didn't say I didn't want to be with you, but I said I would, if there's a choice. Do you get me? I will take Kay any day over you. But I love being with you too. But she's just special. And that's the way it should be with the living God. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Verse 1 declares who dwell in the place of the Most High, who abide under the shadow of the Almighty, who, as verse 9 states, make the Lord their habitation, their refuge. And so we love him, knowing he first loved us. 1 John 4:16 declares that we have known or understood the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. God's love is where we can be found. And so I ask, can God say to you, you cling to me with love? You do not follow afar off. You know what? God can tell if we love him. We maybe can fake it with people around us to a degree, but we can't fake it with God. He knows our heart. Might he see a passion for him in our hearts? Might we let nothing separate us from our love for God? Remember, nothing separates his love from us. Not death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, Paul says in Romans 8, shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, God says, because he has set his love upon me. And what we find in this single-hearted, intense love is gratitude. You know how you can tell if you love God? If you're thankful. If you have thanksgiving in your heart toward God. Whether he gives you little or much, I don't know what was under the Christmas tree for you this past week. I mean, maybe, hopefully you didn't get a piece of coal, amen? But you're thankful. I mean, if you got one pair of warm socks, you're thankful, amen? Amen. Some people don't have socks. You're grateful. The soul that truly loves God is so grateful to the God who has authored so great salvation. Secondly, we find admiration. All that the Lord Jesus is in himself, all that he has done for us, all that he is doing for us, and will do engenders a loving, venerated esteem for God. We find, thirdly, in this love, delightful complacency. You say, well, what does that mean? It means we can enjoy the thought that the worth I admire in the Lord Jesus, I can in some measure possess, meaning I can manifest through his spirit, his life, his fruit. And we find in this love obedience. John 14:21 tells us, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Your obedience to God is the barometer of your love for God. Now let's understand, when we love God, we won't love the world. We won't love its sinful ways. We won't be out partying tonight. We love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. And so when we keep God's commandments, sin is confessed, it is forsaken. God is a holy God. Sin is looked upon with contempt and disdain. All idolatrous attachments are cast aside. We set our affection on the God of all grace, who daily loadeth us with his loving benefits. Can I tell you this? And let me address the young people especially. Because the world looks so alluring. It looks so attractive. Your friends look like they're having so much fun with that can of beer in their hands, that champagne in the glass they're holding. Let me tell you, God gives you so much more. You don't need that. God gives you joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, by way of encouragement, none of us possess this perfect love in its fullness. But we can have the will to so love and to so serve that that can be the setting, the full purpose of our heart. Again, our heart's desire, which is filled with gratitude, admiration, delightful complacency, obedience, is to cling to the Lord. In 2018, we truly love the Lord. And then quickly, two more. God gives us the second reason why he will do what he promises he will do, which is because he hath known God's name. And knowing is the name of God is equivalent in knowing him in a personal way. And included in his name is his word, is his Son. Paul said to the Corinthians, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Peter said, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you know how to find favor with God? Make Jesus your Lord. Make him your Lord. Love him. Serve him. Know him in a living way. You know, we talk about knowledge being powerful. This is the knowledge that's powerful. Knowing in a personal, living, loving way the living God. So the point is, we love God, and in loving him, we desire to know and to honor him. And those who love and know and honor God, God honors, honor for honor. Remember, God says, I will set him on high because he hath known my name. And then the third why God will do what he will do, what he promises he will do, is because, verse 15, he calls upon me. The one we love, we want to know, but to know the one we love, we must communicate with, we must talk to. You don't get to know someone if you don't talk to them. People that don't talk, and I know some people are more quiet than others, so don't take this wrong. But if you never talk to someone, you'll never get to know that person. You never get to know that person. You say, well, I'm just quiet. Well, get over it. Get over it. Well, I'm shy. You should make it a point to get to know people. And to get to know people, you've got to talk. Open your mouth. This is called talking. Share your heart. Ask them, hey, what's going on in your life? Is there something I could pray about? You know, I would be shocked if someone came, and people do, but it's not common. Now, people do more for me, I will say that. But it's not common for someone to come up to me and say, Pastor, how can I pray for you? And I'm the pastor here. And the same is true. If you are to get to know God, you've got to talk to him. I remember one pastor saying, well, I just don't have a lot of time to pray. That pastor doesn't know the God he's supposed to be communicating to his people. I mean, prayer should be primary number one if you are to get to know God. Well, now I lay me down to sleep. That doesn't cut it. Thank you, Lord, for the food. That doesn't cut it. I mean, I've spent 36 years, 37 years talking to Kay, and I feel like I'm just beginning to learn and to know what a wonderful gal she is. I'm hoping she'll find out what a wonderful husband she has. Amen? Can I say it? She does a better... And women talk more than men. I understand that. But men, we can get to know someone called our spouse as well. You might, husbands, let me just say this. Husbands, your wife might be shocked if you started a conversation. How often it's the wife who has to start the conversation. Let me just say this. God wants you to start a conversation with him. Now, the person God blesses has a dependent spirit, meaning he recognizes his need, and therefore he prays. He calls upon God. His attitude is, Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. And so he prays. Remember, we have not because we ask not. So we are commanded to call. God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. By means of prayer, we receive the blessings of God, and really being in the presence of God, communicating with God, is the greatest blessing. And so shouldn't we want to commune with the God we love and know? Well, my prayer for each of us as we look forward to 2018 is that God can bless us. Again, what are his blessings? What do they look like? Well, we can call them his promises. He tells us he will deliver us. He will protect us and exalt us. He will answer prayer. He is with us in trouble. He honors us. He satisfies us. He shows us his salvation because we resolve. Here are some resolutions. New Year's resolutions. We resolve to love the Lord, to know the Lord, and to pray to the Lord.